pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Happy birthday, America.
And happy birthday, us.
Yeah, no doubt, huh?
Yeah,
it is
our birthday, too.
It is our, I believe, 16th birthday, the mm-hmm. Left Show.
Aw.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah. That
We're
is
a sweet
neat.
16.
We've been doing this a lot. We've done this. This is our 741st episode.
Our show is now old enough to drive.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. Yeah.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah. That's insane.
That's weird.
When we first met you, you were still cosplaying.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a kid yet. You hadn't been married yet. You hadn't been mm-hmm. what happened after yet. You were young and innocent. You fell into our evil clutches, and here you are still.
Wahaha.
Maybe you guys fell into my evil clutches. I just put a spell
yes,
on you.
Yes, I can see how the career advancement from being on the Left Show has given you so much positive in your life.
It's made us all so much money.
Yeah, if this was part of your evil...
We're knee-deep in hookers and blow around here, you know?
We're not using them. This is just where they stay because we're in the same tenement. Just,
they need a shelter, so that's where we put them. Yeah.
No, we've been doing this for quite a while. I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were missing on Forrest, and they're like, you're at 720 some odd shows. This is a little while back, and I was like, yeah. Yeah, we've been doing this a long time. And she's like, how many shows did Forrest do? And I said, 299. And she's like, all of them? I said, nope, he only did about 200 of them. And then he mm-hmm. was around right before we turned 300.
Yep.
And then we lost another friend. I don't want to say his name until everybody's had a chance to catch up. But mm-hmm. we've lost yet another friend this week.
Just today.
Just today to
I'm
cancer.
I'm so sorry, guys.
And, that was kind of a sneaky blow, and it took a little while for us, to figure out what was going on. But, now it's, I don't know.
Like with Forrest, another friend to cancer.
Yeah.
Different form of cancer, but still to cancer.
Cancer just,
it's such a dick.
At this point, I'm convinced everybody's going to get it, and you just, it's so sad. I'm so sorry, guys.
When I showed my wife the post,
it's a
she
hard thing to go
just started
through.
Crying. Yeah.
Yeah, he was
started crying and said, why is it good people are taken away by this and assholes just keep going? And
I'm think like, about.
That's a good fucking question.
Yeah. Speaking of fireworks
question.
Celebrations. Mm-hmm. By the way, one of our most popular clips was the one about you talking about fireworks a couple weeks back. So thank you, Taylor.
Me?
Taylor.
Oh, Taylor? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
The celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Celebration. I'm good at, I'm just.
I don't give a fuck about
garage.
A band. I'm going to be there when we set them off.
You know what? It's such a performative thing that Governor Cox did. Because he, everyone's like, oh, he said there's a band, blah, blah. It's like, no, he said that. mayors in the cities can decide where the restrictions are. Mm-hmm. Still,
like, hey,
there's no ban. The mayors get to decide where the fireworks can happen.
So guess
he said it.
Guess which town did not have a ban yesterday? Mine.
Spanish Fork.
Spanish Salt Fork. It sounded like fucking Baghdad in 2003 out there. It was nuts.
We had one it's group like of people that just set them off.
One?
But I know that there was a whole bunch of them. And it was just going all night. They had their own little fireworks show over by the canal. Probably figured it was safe. I'm like, you know how much fucking dry grass is up by that canal?
Yep.
That leads to houses and a fucking school? Yeah.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah, fuck them kids. I want to set up my fireworks.
I feel like people went harder this year just to prove a point, too.
Oh, yeah. Not kidding. It was 3 straight hours of continuous explosions. It did not slow down. A few times it felt like something heavy landed on the house. The booms were so big. And this is just out in the fucking neighborhoods. It was nuts. And Doug sent me a little note. And he's like, how do you like the Spanish Fork Wars? Because apparently they do that down here every year. Everybody just goes ape shit. So
I'm like, 10-minute fireworks is the maximum that I can watch on 4th of July. And I don't like fireworks it is a 4th of July thing. I will enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I bought a couple of kits when my kids were wee, but the more expensive the kits got because aerials became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm like, so I'm basically spending money to burn it.
Well, I mean, I did spend that $250.
But yeah, that's a good cause.
That's a good cause.
You're doing the Lord's
work. Happy birthday, America.
That's right. We're celebrating.
I will. I mean, it's been... Look, my deep dive's about America's 250th birthday, but so I don't want to go too deep into weeds on this. But I mean, it's been I remember vaguely the bicentennial. I have very few memories of it, but what I remember was that it was always big and it was always crowded. You know, that people were there and they were celebrating, and there's reasons for that I'll get into in the second segment. But, you know, when you look at the American State Fair and I think one of my favorite quotes on that was somebody from Fox. It's like, hey, now that the markets are shut down, people can start coming to the State Fair. And I'm like, aren't the markets in fucking New York? It isn't the State Fair in D.C.?
Yes.
So they're
it's a train ride.
They're on their
it's
way.
A train ride.
They're pulling a Biden, I guess, and taking the choo-choo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a waste of time. There's a wedding there.
Yep. So a MAGA guy got arrested at the American State Fair last week after witnesses saw him masturbating to an acrobatics act. Cirque du Soleil
spandex
while wearing an Uncle Sam costume.
Naturally.
Oh my God.
Yep. Gian Rucitelli, right wing live streamer who goes by Manny online.
His Buffalo Head was it the cleaners? Is that why he's wearing an Uncle Sam costume?
Different guy. Different guy. Anyway, this guy was charged with lewd, indecent, or obscene acts after being apprehended at the problem-plagued patriotic spectacle in Washington, D.C. last Thursday. Arrest documents reviewed include 3 separate witness statements. One detail-oriented observer told police officers they saw this creepy MAGA fucker recording female circus performers before he stuck his right hand down his pants and moved back and forth approximately 6 times in what appeared to be self-pleasure or masturbation. So, like most MAGA, he's a quick shot.
Yep.
Yep. He's a 6-pump chump.
Yep.
Yep. It's been a minute since I've said that. Yeah, another reported a performer from the Cirque Mechanics, they're called, troupe approached them to point out an older white male who was making lewd gestures in his pants. And a third said they saw the accused, quote, with his hand in his pants, likely doing what we all thought he was doing, end quote.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
So ooh.
Manny's crime is being a huge patriot.
Is he's hard for justice. He's hard for freedom. He's hard for America.
That's right.
He's hard for Trump.
Ugh.
Wolf.
Oh, I got some.
It's probably so empty he thought it was okay.
I got some Trump ooh for you here in just a minute, but one of the things that popped up this week in the news was Trump is going to have himself put into the passports a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said about that on Truth Social is, and I quote, the USA's new passport, which says, welcome but be good, President DJT, proving he doesn't know what the fuck a passport is for or how it works. You use a passport, an American passport, to get out of America to another country and back in. You don't use an American passport to migrate here. having the American passport shows that you're a citizen, dickhead. Welcome, but be good. Fuck off, you fucking idiot.
Rich fuckers like that have never needed a passport. They fly in a private jet into a private airport where a motorcade is waiting for them to take them wherever they need to fucking go. They never need a passport. Their assistant makes whatever arrangements for them to be in that country to go do a business deal. And that's it. They've never fucking needed one. So they don't fucking know what it even means. I mean, it's pretty clear that this is not... Everybody's like, oh, he's one of us. Bullshit. He's nothing. He's none of us. He is an elite motherfucker who's making billions off of billionaires right now.
Have you seen the picture, yeah?
Yeah.
Does it not look like
it's him leaning over his desk?
And that look on his face look like he's bearing down to just get a good clean shit himself?
Yes.
You know, without having to force the issue? He's just bearing down. Taking the kids to the pool. Can you believe that we live in a fucking country where we have seen the president shit himself on television at least 4 fucking times? He went to Fox and Friends the other day and they put a black towel down on their white couch before they had him come in.
Yep.
He shits himself so much. They know to protect the furniture.
You know what? I had a moment. Somebody told me this. I don't know how true it is. I had a moment of sympathy for the guy because it's been similar. They put him on Ozempic. And I'm like, oh, it's the Ozempic shits. Because I
don't buy it.
I went through that as a side effect. Yeah.
What?
So he had they also said that it's not working. They're trying to go more experimental. And I'm like, Ozempic only works if you allow it to work. You can mind over matter that thing. And then you get the shits from it. Because your digestive system is going to change no matter what. But if you keep overeating, you're going to get the shits. And I'm like, I think that's it. I think the fucker's got Ozempic shits. I remember those till I figured out, eat less and I don't get the shits. Oh, that's it. That's the answer. Yeah.
Go ahead, Taylor. Please change the subject.
I just think that he's been doing this like for decades, probably. Like I read one of the victims of the Epstein one of the men, he's actually they, them, but he talked about like how Trump is shitting his pants because of the effects like of certain things that happened there, like fighting with other, like with children and shit, like wrestling them like Jim Jones would do. Like they would fight fist to fist, like these boys would just fight fist to fist. And so this guy's, they said that it, like part of it's from that, and he's been doing it. It's just getting worse, like the Ozempic shits probably. It's just getting worse.
Noel.
The Ozempic is only going to make it worse.
Yeah, Noel Castor, I believe is his name. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He was a production assistant on The Apprentice. And he said Trump shit himself all the time on that show, too.
Mm.
So he's been shitting himself since before Ozempic.
Yeah, because Ozempic wasn't a thing then.
So. Yeah, that was back when he was being accused of nose railing Adderall, crushed Adderall. Remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gave up cocaine for Adderall, basically. Yeah. Because he could get a prescription for Adderall.
Well, he's the president. He could probably get cocaine if he wanted it. Christ knows we've got enough over at the DEA. I don't even know who's running the fucking DEA right now. Is Marco Rubio the DEA?
Marco Rubio sits... No, but he sits on the stand and he'll do like sneak coke in his mouth. Like,
yep.
There are things to.
So there may not be between that. Don Jr. and Marco Rubio. There may not be enough left for Trump to have. So yeah, he's not on the Adderall.
Terry,
Hunter Biden leave his bag behind?
No, you never leave that shit behind.
Some guy named Terry Cole is running the DEA. Former special agent. Okay.
Mm. Well,
maybe we haven't heard anything about him because he's either A, not doing anything, or B, he's not fucking around. I don't know.
He's actually doing what he's supposed to be doing, and the DEA isn't a problem right now. Yeah.
I've got to do my passport again.
Mm.
And I can't afford it, which is why I haven't done it over the last couple of years. And I don't want a passport with this fucker's fucking fuck face in it.
Yeah, no shit.
But I can't afford to order now before these become the ones. Oh, that's very frustrating. I mean, how the hell am I supposed to flee to another country when the Gestapo hits my door without a passport? It's very frustrating.
Declare refugee status. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, good luck getting on a fucking flight without a passport. I can't swim to Scotland. I'm too fat. I guess I could float.
Boats.
Float boats.
Boats.
Same thing. I'd have to steal a boat, sail it. You know what? That was something. Let me throw this out before we move on to the two dumb stories I'm ending with. Yesterday, for just no fucking reason, I flipped on MS Now. Or not MS Now. News Now. Different thing. One's free, one you got to pay for. On NBC, and they were covering the tall ship flotilla in New York, and it was all these big clipper ships and sloops, you know, and other sailing ships coming through. And then every once in a while, they'd have a flyover. The coolest flyover was fucking Spain. They had six. And the middle three were shooting white, and then the outer two were shooting blue and red, respectively. And they were all real tight to one another, and they're shooting the smoke out. And they just went, and they got this beautiful shot down by the water, shooting up to where you could see in the far third, you know, this big, beautiful sailing ship with all of its sails furled and the American flag flying out its ass. And then up in the sky was this big fucking cloud ribbon of red, white, and blue. It was like, you know, the patriotism of old was reignited in my heart for a couple of seconds, where I was like, AI couldn't pull that out of its ass with detailed directions. It was a very beautiful shot. I really, really liked it. But it was fun. I had that on just in the background because there was no soccer games going on. So I had that on, and the ships are slow.
There.
Yeah, the ships come by every 10 minutes or so. So I'd look up from my homework and be like, oh, that's a really pretty ship. And fucking all these different countries sent their sailing ships, and it was really kind of neat. And I was
that
really glad
really cool.
NBC covered it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they had Al Roker, who drives me up a tree. I don't hate him. It's just, I don't give a shit about Al fucking Roker, you know?
Yeah.
And he was on so much. I don't know. There's something about him. He's just a little too earnest for my tastes. Thomas Massey, who we know is a Republican who lost his primary because he kind of runs after Trump on the Epstein files quite a bit, I should have saved this for the next bit. But he somebody somewhere the rumor came out that he boinked Lauren Boebert. And Lauren Boebert apparently didn't deny it. And so this Fox reporter comes up to him and is like, hey, Stupin Boebert? I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's like, who the fuck are you? And she's like, I'm Fox News. And he's like, I don't think so. And then he pulls out his phone and points it at her and starts to interview her, saying, I hear you like gay porn.
It was a dude. It was a dude.
Oh, it was a dude?
That he was following her.
Oh.
It was a dude. He's like, I heard you like gay porn, which is why he said gay porn.
Because
it was a dude.
Gotcha.
Heard you were gay.
Which is even better.
Yeah.
Are you gay? Do you lick balls? You like balls? Huh? Do you? Do you? Asked Thomas Massey. Do you put them in your mouth? Do you? Tell me.
I love this rebrand.
Tell me slower. Yeah. I'm just like, what is that? Okay. What if he says yes? That'd be the best part. You like gay porn? Yeah. Oh.
The guy was so nervous. He's like, you don't have to do that. Like, just walking away. Just, like, so embarrassed.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Oh, you can't take it then.
Me too, buddy. It's, you want to come over?
I love this rebrand of him. I think that I wouldn't vote for him, but I think he's going to run for president. Like, I feel like he could run for president.
You know, Messy. if it's true that the MAGA are just the very loud, very small minority, which we keep getting told is what's happening, but I live in a small rural town, and it certainly seems pretty fucking MAGA to me. But if it's true that there are more, what do you even call them anymore? Republicans that aren't MAGA, you know, it's the, you know, you nine people
Democrats.
Sitting at a table.
Yeah, that's
nine,
what you call them.
Nine people sitting at a table and a Nazi sits down and they don't kick him out. There's 10 Nazis at the table.
Yes.
You know, it's like that. Okay, look, let's take a break. We get back on the other side. We're doing deep dives and more news.
Doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Welcome back. We're getting ready to do our deep dives this week. And before that, I just wanted to bring up a little earlier in the show, Patreon. You can join us on Patreon every week that we record. We put up new and fun special content just for folks that join us over on Patreon, including this week where I posted a throwback to the first birthday of The Left Show, the episode. The first birthday on the main show, I posted our very first episode. And we're better than we used to be. Because this was This is, I mean, there used to be a lot of alcohol consumed in the room. And so as the show got further to the end, it got nuttier and nuttier. And this is back when we were running them, and they were running 2, sometimes 3 hours long, because we didn't know what the fuck we were doing yet. Yeah, I didn't have a producer shouting in my ear. I'm like, oh, I'm the producer. Oops.
You also didn't have a platform that cared how long we ran our show, so yeah. It was fine. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that platform came along, because I think the tighter has worked better.
Yeah, it makes the show better.
Yeah, I think so. So, patreon.com/dfenmedia. It's the only place to get the special content, and I just really hope you guys will join us over there. And then at the end of the show, when I say all of this again, just trying to get you guys over there. In addition, if you can just take the 30 seconds to rate and review the show, we haven't had very many in quite a long time because we don't ask. And we've been around a long time, and we forget that that's a thing. But we could really use your help on that as well. Rate and review wherever it is you get your podcasts from. I'd deeply appreciate it. I'd consider it a favor. Okay? I owe you a slap on the back and a hug. All right. Let's break for deep dives. It's time for the Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
All right, I'll get us started. We had some primaries not too long ago, and there were some lessons to be learned when it came to what the outcome of those primaries were. This wasn't the case in every single state, because we'll all keep snickering about what happened in Utah with our fun little, District 1 primary.
Yeah.
But some of this is relevant to the rest of the country. So last month you had Diane DeGette, who was a Democratic rep for Colorado, and she ran her entire platform that she was one of those who voted to impeach Trump. And to their credit, the Denver voters rejected that pitch, and Malak Kyros, a young attorney who lost her job after defending student Gaza protesters, defeated DeGette by double digits.
Woo-hoo.
in the Denver primary. So Democrats don't care if you resisted Trump and lost. That's the first lesson we learned. Now, we'll get to Ben McAdams in a minute, but that was the big thing is that this happened not just in Colorado. This happened in other places as well, where they were saying, well, we ran on this, but they ran on this. Hey, I was there to impeach Trump. They're like, I don't care. We want a progressive, and they put a progressive through. Now, on the other hand, Republican voters did care if their guy defied Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Crenshaw, put out that revision of the congressional map, all that kind of stuff. But State Senator Steve Toth basically benefited from the impression that Crenshaw was more interested in his own brand than Trump's. And that wasn't the case in Texas, but in Kentucky it was. So it's just... Yeah, they care whether or not you stand up to Trump in the Republican Party, which is weird right now. Mm-hmm. Pro-Israel Democrats are on the back heel. They are doing okay, but not winning as many as they used to, as they did during the last election. And then in the case of Ben McAdams, as we all know, what wins more than anything? Money. Money wins. So if you had that war chest that Ben McAdams had, it didn't matter if your whole campaign was... I voted to impeach Trump twice. Great. And what else have you done for us? McMullen. We can fucking remember McMullen, but he still won his primary handily because all of the progressives basically canceled each other out in the votes that we got.
Yeah.
So
right now we're looking
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
yeah.
Right now we're definitely looking at the basically the final answer is we're looking at progressive candidates are moving up. They are rising up. We're getting more of those in primary, you know, winning primaries and stuff. It's just, can they hold it? Can they continue to drive out these establishment Democrats that have been a problem for us for what, 20 plus years now?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now
open the floor to questions and answers.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, I didn't interrupt.
Okay.
I'm in CD1.
You are in
CD1. I'm in CD1. I'm mad. Yeah. And so I'm mad. Not
of course you're not pissed. I'm pissed.
I knew better. Like, but it's they couldn't drop their fucking egos.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just like team up together. The one person that would drop his ego was Nate. And he literally, I fully believe that he would have stepped out and supported the candidate if his poll. They could have done their own polls. Like, straight up, Luan, you could have done your own poll. He didn't go to the fucking Pride. He had his team there instead of him going to anything. Mm-hmm. He sends his teams to everything. He stacked the delegates. Like, and he thought, like, that's, I should win. Ben McAdams won also because it was an open primary and Republicans came out and voted for Ben.
Yep.
Because, like, that was just, because he's just a Republican light.
He's and Republican
so,
light.
Like, I went and voted in person. And there were so many people that were definitely just like, you would vote Republican every time, but you're here to vote for Ben. Like, it was very obvious.
Yeah.
And,
I agree.
But I'm so mad that, like, it's just, y'all couldn't just put down your ego and work together.
Oh, God, no.
And that makes me think, like, that is very Democrat of you. That is very Democrat and not progressive of you.
That's what we saw happen in California because they have ranked choice voting. And, like, these Democrats just started carving up little fiefdoms. And it was like, nobody's going to win. You're going to wind up, the top two will be two Republicans because you fuckers are too busy carving it up and not behaving the way you're supposed to. And that's going to be the case. I mean, that's going to be the case in most Democratic places. And the problem is, fine, if that's the case, fine. Can we get a progressive candidate instead of a damn middle of the road, basically Republican? Because the middle is far to the right at this point. If you're a moderate, that still means you're way on the right. And you're not going to go back, you know, to the left. But you get a progressive candidate, and at least they're sitting on the edge of the left, so they can try to pull us back toward the left, back toward Bernie Sanders, back toward AOC, back toward Zoran Mandami. But that's who we fucking need, and more voters are setting it up. But you guys got to back down. I agree. You got to say, okay, we need one progressive candidate to run against this idiot. So let's pick a good one.
Yep. Nope. That's where we're at. Is progressive populism wins elections.
Yep.
It does. So,
well done. Well done, Denver. I will say that.
Yeah.
And good what job, the fuck's
Denver.
Up with your
I'm
governor?
I'm proud of you. Yeah. Fucking another story.
Yeah, Paulus. Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, let's all take a deep breath. Because I'm about to whine a little bit.
Okay.
That's a good deep dive.
Thank you.
It's the Left Show's birthday, which means that it's also America's birthday. So happy 250th birthday, America. Or as some Republicans would probably prefer, happy birthday, America, trademark, copyright, et cetera, where patriotism is measured by the size of your flag and how loudly you complain about your neighbors. It's interesting to compare this anniversary with the bicentennial back in 1976. So the country was coming out of the shadow of the Vietnam War, the Watergate scandal, and Americans just didn't exactly trust the government, but the bicentennial was largely a time of healing. It wasn't perfect, but there was a shared sense that celebrating the country didn't require pretending that the country never fucked up. Now we fast forward 50 years, and patriotism has become another front in the culture war. Republicans believe patriotism means unquestioning loyalty. that criticizing America somehow makes you anti-American. And the left argues, some of us, that patriotism means loving your country enough to demand that it live up to its own potential and ideals. The Constitution is not a participation trophy. It's a promise that only matters if we're willing to hold ourselves accountable. So let's take a look at birthright citizenship. The Supreme Court ruled this week that Trump can't get rid of birthright citizenship, and the right went nuts. The 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution says that anybody born in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction is a citizen. It wasn't written as an immigration loophole. It was written after the Civil War to ensure formerly enslaved Americans could never again have their citizenship denied. But today, Republicans argue that the guarantee should be narrowed, reinterpreted, or gotten done away with altogether. So it begs the question, is patriotism defending the Constitution as it's written or redefining it whenever it's politically convenient? And then there's soccer, because you had to know I was going to talk about soccer. U.S. men's national team has been celebrating the success of players like Florian Balogun. He was born in New York City, right? American.
Right.
Raised in England. His parents are Nigerian, who were living in England at the time. Okay. And he chose to represent the United States internationally because he qualified under FIFA's eligibility rules. Most fans do not give a shit where he spent his childhood. They care that he wears the crest, scores goals, and represents the country. And it's funny how that works. Because when someone scores goals for America, suddenly birthplace and background become less important than contribution. But when someone is born here, works here, pays taxes here, and raises a family here, somehow that's controversial. And maybe patriotism isn't or shouldn't be about where your ancestors come from. Maybe it's about whether you believe America is at its strongest when it keeps its promises, when liberty, equality, and opportunity aren't just slogans rolled out on the fucking 4th of July, but principles that we actually try and live by. So America's 250 isn't just a birthday party. It should be an audit. The question isn't whether we love the country. The question is whether we love it enough to make it live up to its own ideals. That's the most patriotic thing I believe an American can do.
I was reading quotes from Emma Goldman today to change my little like board that says shit. Mm-hmm. And one of them came up, patriotism is a menace to liberty.
Yeah. No, absolutely, oh, absolutely.
Agree. It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Because I've said this before, I used to be that dipshit with the little clip-on flags on his car. You know, 4th of July was my favorite holiday for an awful long time. And during the Bush administration, it became less of a favorite holiday. And then in 2016, it became a painful holiday. And this year, especially on a birthday with such a number of, with gravitas, mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed.
This is a tacky, tacky year. It's tacky. This whole 4th of July has been tacky.
And just gross.
I still remember 1976 and all the red, white, and blue and the stars and stripes fucking everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, we're pretty tacky when we want to be.
But I mean,
this year it's tacky, and the tackiness doesn't feel earnest. It feels dirty. It feels like it's been put upon in a way by people who aren't true patriots, don't truly love this country. They want this country to serve them. They don't want to serve the country. And you know, and it's especially with the douchebag in chief. I mean, this is all right there. You know, and I think about, I was thinking about, you know, the birthright citizenship thing. And I thought about, you know, we've had these guys, they were immigrants. Some of them dreamers, some of them, you know, they came over as kids and they joined the armed forces and they defended our country in the armed forces and then turned around to find themselves deported because they had some minor infraction. And they were brown skinned, and so Stephen Miller didn't like them and wants them gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to anybody brown, and that's an ICE agent. One day, they're going to be put in that center.
Yeah.
Even though they are ICE agents.
Yeah.
We talked about how fucked those ICE agents are. You know, a lot of them joined to get that bonus. That bonus, if you get fired for any reason, you have to repay the entire bonus.
Huh.
And it's like within 5 years. If you don't finish those 5 years, you have to repay the bonus. Trump's only election, like in office for 4 years.
Exactly. And you'll have to repay that entire bonus.
You think that you're going to stay? Yeah. You think you're going to stay there for 5 years?
It's going to take, hopefully, depending on whether we get a corporate Democrat, another Republican, or just King Trump.
Yeah.
You know, it should only take about 15 minutes for ICE to get downsized. It got upsized with a fucking executive order. It can get downsized with an executive order. It's simple. It's
easy. And then you got to come down. Then you have to ask the question, because this is they're all contractors. So were they fired or were they laid off? Is there a distinction in whether or not you have to pay back your bonus? I think a kinder, gentler administration would say, no, you can have the money you've earned for those 2 years, 3 years that we did this. But a harder administration, somebody who wants to punish them, is going to be like, fuck you, pay it back. Yeah.
I want the next administration to have the fuck you, pay it back attitude. That's what I want. Yep. I don't want anybody looking to make things softer. We did that after the fucking Civil War. We didn't hang near enough people. And this is, I believe, a direct result of that leniency.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we didn't prosecute anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just don't do it again. And it's like, okay, well, it's worse, but okay.
Yep. Well, we don't
have.
Happy
birthday, America, I fucking guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at. I'm going to save one of these for Patreon. It's really gross, and it's about Trump, and it's not even about him shitting himself. We're up against the timer, so we got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. We'll finish up the news. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
He's got COVID.
No, I think it's all the smoke in the air. I mean, half of Utah's on fire, and it smelled like fucking cordite outside all night last night.
No shit.
Yeah. Like, it made it into the house somehow. It made it through the AC filter, and the whole house just smelled like gunpowder. Which is not a smell I dislike, by the way. You know, actually, I love the smell of an area after you've been out target shooting or something. I do. I like the smell. I like fireworks. I like shooting off. I like blowing shit up. You know, I'm a pretty stereotypical dude in a lot of ways. And one of the things that I'm hardwired for is explosions. Love it. You know, so.
Well, there's cordite after a little bit of, after, you know, just going out to the range or, you know, shooting off a few fireworks in a well-ventilated area with a lot of, with good wind. There's a whole different story between the cordite you smell when you walk into a war zone post-firefight, you know.
Or Spanish Fork last night.
Or Spanish Fork, you know, the next day.
Yeah.
I haven't even been outside today.
I don't think I have either.
I'm going to say, like, Salt Lake did not have their, my street, which is very main street, they didn't light them. Like, there was only certain areas that had them near my house. I was very, very surprised. There was none east of me. Very surprising.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, for some reason, no matter how big the amateur pyrotechnics are, all I remember was being parked at the south end of the valley during the Olympics closing ceremony. I don't know if you guys did it. We were up on the south bench looking out over the valley, and they had all these different areas from Draper all the way up to the University of Utah just shooting off fucking fireworks, and they went, you know, basically went from one fucking gravel quarry to the other on the north end. And it was just neat. And all last night was noise. Noise, noise, noise.
That's the other side of it. Yeah.
Yep. So, Republican Mike Lawler, didn't there used to be a pro wrestler called Mike Lawler who beat up, what's his name?
There was Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler.
Jerry the King Lawler who
beat up Andy Kaufman.
Well, Andy Kaufman conceived of a great joke and Lawler thought it was really funny, so he got in on it. So, yeah, they made the whole thing up. It was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike Lawler, nephew to Jerry Lawler, apparently.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Hey, look, people are talking. I'm just asking questions. Yeah. So, there was a hearing, and he started going on and on and on about stuff that the hearing wasn't about. And so, Pramila Jayapal and Jamie Raskin talk to the chair and they're like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, you're right. Knock, knock. You have to shut up now. You're silenced. And so Lawler went off on Raskin and Jayapal after he stormed out of the House Judiciary Subcommittee meeting about immigration policy on Tuesday, saying, frankly, Jamie Raskin and Pramila Jayapal are fucking assholes. Their conduct in that hearing was disgraceful. But it was Lawler who started it all. The Republican was invited to the hearing as a guest to introduce a witness.
Yeah.
To introduce
a
witness.
That's all he was supposed to do.
Yeah. Instead, Lawler launched a politically charged anti-immigration rant in which he dragged the deaths of Minneapolis protesters Renee Good and Alex Preddy into the conversation about the argument about the consequence of sanctuary cities, saying that it was the city's fault that Alex Preddy and Renee Good were murdered by the government. So he got warned a few times.
The city's fault.
Yeah. So he got warned a few times and kept going and going and going. He'd ignore it and jump right back in. And so finally he was silenced and he left, you know. And he said on his way out, what is it he said right here? It's like, I do feel that outrage, Raskin said, prompting Lawler to shout back, you do not. So then they start yelling at one another, yada, yada, yada. Lawler leaves and just insults everybody else on his way out the door. You know?
Kept going down the hall, raving to whoever would listen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I was talking about during my deep dive, you know, the USA men's national team has this insanely good player, Ballon Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? After Trump and Republicans celebrated the U.S. men's national team's winning streak at the World Cup right now, a reporter informed House Speaker Mike Johnson that the leading goal scorer, Florian Balogun, is actually a birthright citizen. Speaker, let's see, Balogun, whose parents are Nigerian, was born in Brooklyn in 2001 after his mother was unable to board a return flight to London because she was too pregnant for the airline to let her on the airplane. So he's never lived in the United States. He was raised in England, but he's a U.S. citizen because he was born here. Again, even if he wasn't a famous soccer player, I know. You know?
Yeah.
So a reporter pressed Johnson on Wednesday about how he reconciles celebrating the U.S. men's team's success with ongoing efforts to curtail birthright citizenship protections under the 14th Amendment, which Johnson offered a very odd set of convoluted answers. Let's see. One was, we know it has been abused in recent years because people have been literally just come over the border just to have a baby so they can, you know, avail themselves of the social welfare system of America. As I mentioned, we are the most benevolent nation in the history of the world, but this must be done within reason. We're the what now? Since fucking when?
When the fuck did that happen? Where was I asleep? What the fuck?
The most benevolent to who? Billionaires?
Yeah.
Yes.
To Musk? Sure. Let's see, what else did he say? He said, that's why the argument was presented to the Supreme Court. It's time to reevaluate that. We'll see where the court comes down on it. This was before the one I talked about earlier. I think that it actually is Mike Johnson. It might have been after. Who the fuck knows? He said, I think they're going to look at it like originalists, as textualists. I think they're also going to consider the factors that are at issue and the strength and stability of the country. The president, he said, makes a lot of compelling arguments. I think a lot of people do, and we'll see how that shakes out.
Still doesn't answer the question, Mike.
His next comment betrayed his racial animus, repeating talking points within the great replacement conspiracy theory that's dominated the far right's approach to immigration policy. Saying, and I quote, this is Mike Johnson again, we embrace that, but we also expect people will come. They will follow the spirit and letter of the law. You know, like you guys. They will assimilate to our country and not try to transplant Sharia law. Texas is mandating Bible reading in public schools. And these other things and change who we are. I think that's a very important thing to American identity, and I look forward to the court's opinion. I don't think he was very excited with the court's opinion.
I don't think he was very excited by the court's opinion. Although he was like, "Oh wow, we almost won that one."
Yep.
I'm like, "Yeah." I was actually a little surprised Roberts decided to go with the Constitution. That was really where I went.
Yep. California, that liberal bastion. Registered sex offenders can continue running for public office in California after a panel of state senators killed a proposal that would have prohibited them from doing so. The state Senate's election committee on Tuesday rejected the proposal in a 2-1-2 vote. Democratic San Diego State Senator Sabrina Cervantes and Republican State Senator Stephen Choi voted yes. The committee's chairman, Democratic San Francisco State Rep. Scott Wiener, voted no, while Democratic Santa Ana State Senator Tom Umberg and El Segundo State Senator Ben Allen abstained. They were like, I'm going to have no opinion on registered sex offenders running for office. That's almost
You'll have to eject me from office if we pass this. I'll abstain.
Yep. Yep.
Who's going to be able to run?
Anybody.
Yeah. Where are we going to find
new progressives?
Yeah. We got to put in progressives if we do that.
Well, look. Two words. Carlos Danger.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Weiner was a hell of a progressive until it turns out he couldn't keep his goddamn zipper down when around a camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sure loved that. He lived up to his name.
Apparently his nephew, Scott, chairman of the Senate Elections Committee, expressed concerns about the bill's broad scope. We're not letting sex offenders into the Senate. Scott, what's your problem? Carlos Danger, Junior, what the fuck is your problem?
You fuck one chicken. Suddenly everybody's all, ooh, you can't run for office? Chicken fucker.
Shag one sheep.
Yep. Yeah, so way to go, California. One voted to abstain. No, two voted to abstain. One voted present. And the other two voted yes, which means they didn't have enough to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
If that wasn't a backroom deal, I don't know what it is. Now, look, I'm about to have a temper tantrum. Mm-mm. Please indulge me.
Okay.
Representative Tom Keehan, who disappeared a few months ago. We've talked about him a couple times on the show. Nobody knew that he was alive except for his stock transactions over the last 3 to 4 months.
Right.
Congressman who missed work for more than 3 months to treat clinical depression also opposes paid leave policies that would allow more workers the same kind of time off.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans like Tom Keehan, a Republican of New Jersey, generally dislike policies that benefit workers at the expense of the employers or the government. So during his time in New Jersey legislature, Keene voted against bills requiring paid leave and backed legislation that would have barred New Jersey towns from enacting their own paid leave requirements, saying in 2015, our solutions won't cost taxpayers any extra money. He said of a package of pro-business proposals that included the paid leave ban in 2015. So this fucking hump gets the sads, like so many of us, takes 4 months off, makes hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market. What the fuck? You got plenty of money, you asshole. What are you so fucking sad about?
Yeah, what are you depressed about?
Doesn't talk to anybody, issue a statement, doesn't fucking step back from the goddamn job that's apparently depressing him. He's like, oh, I'm so sad about all this money we're stealing as we screw over the American people.
He shouldn't have gotten it because RFK said that it's not real. Like,
right. I get he just needs to meet. He just needs to eat more red meat. That's really it. That's RFK's prescription.
Yeah.
Honest to God, though.
Make sure you cook it in beef.
Take a walk.
Yeah.
Take a walk.
Some fucking beef right now would actually cheer me the fuck up. Let me just be absolutely clear with you.
Let's establish that the price of beef is a big problem in this country.
Oh my God.
Mental health problems. Yeah.
I am so sick of chicken thighs.
I was lamenting last night that before it went up to $100, I should have bought a beef loin at Costco and froze it, because I'd still be eating steaks right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very frustrating.
My friend and I went to Costco and I loaded up on beef and chicken, and she is the kindest human in the world, and she bought all of my groceries at Costco.
I don't know
why she did that, because I could have done it myself, but like she just is like, no, I'm paying. It's like,
I love that. I think it's fantastic.
You guys are too kind to me.
Well, sitting over there with your black lipstick, could have just been fear of the goth lady.
Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever works.
Just kind to people.
Yeah, no. You're not scary. Unless you're mad.
I just have some really good people in my life. Unless you I'm do. Mad, you're right. I huff a lot. I just go on little rants all the time and everybody has to hear it.
Hey, I follow you on TikTok, so I'm there.
And on Threads. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, you're a hoot on Threads. You're my favorite thing on there.
Threads. Yeah.
You and our buddy Pete.
Yep.
Pete is fucking unhinged on Threads. It's adorable.
He should have more followers.
I think he should, too. We should do that. I'll put him in our feeds this week. He's the one. We're at the end of the show, and I'm out of news. So he's the one that brought it to my attention that we, and this is about 3 months ago, were tied with episode output with the Dollop podcast. And I'm like, well, fuck that. And so I interviewed 3 congressional candidates in a 16-hour period and put out 3 specials to leap ahead of the Dollop and then to stay there. And
nice.
I was going to make some noise about it, and I'm just like, you know what? The last thing I want to do is piss off a couple of really, really talented, very smart comedians with my hysterical bullshit. When Stephen Colbert got called the Left Show, and we called him out on it, I was a little upset. We didn't get any pushback on that. We didn't get a wink or a nod. It frankly broke my heart. I still watched that last episode, but still, come on, Stephen Colbert, share some love. You're doing fine, buddy.
No shit.
You're about to direct a Lord of the Rings movie, for fuck's sake. Or write it or something.
Share some love, or at least, you know, become a sponsor of this podcast.
You know, you folks could become a sponsor of this podcast. It's pretty easy. The easiest way to do it is go to theleftshow.com and hit on one of those donate links. Trust me, those are a favorite. But if you want something for your buck, pop over to Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we put up special content just for our Patreon family. It's a hoot and a holler. A hoot and a holler.
A holler.
Neither of which are all that much
fun.
Two
things.
But you put them together and you hoot and a holler. Oh, good times abound.
Well, a holler can be a scary place to be, especially if it's in Kentucky. But a hoot, always happy.
Yeah. Always enjoy a good hoot.
Why don't they just admit it? He's dead.
Wait, who's dead?
Mitch McConnell's dead.
Oh, I don't know.
Mitch McConnell, why would they just admit it?
They're probably clearing his hard drive of turtle porn. You remember the video, don't you?
The noises are so...
Oh, yeah, way better. That's way better.
Velociraptors.
Little velociraptors. Yes. There you go.
It's so funny.
I like watching porn from my era.
Oh, so he's got tintype.
Yeah.
With a candle. He's got a tintype and a candle. Ooh.
Exactly.
Look at those ankles.
And the dinosaurs have sex, yes.
All right, gang. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you're not going to join us on Patreon, let's go USA playing. Who the fuck are they playing? Belarus? No.
Paraguay.
Paraguay. No, we already played Paraguay. I don't think it's Paraguay then. I think it's, is it, oh, is it Bosnia?
Yeah, no, it's not Bosnia. It's fucking Bruges.
Belgium.
It's Belgium.
Belgium. I knew we'd get there. There was a lot of, there's 48 countries. I'm confused.
Belgium's going to be a challenge. We'll see how they do.
You know what? They've got it. Oh, did you not hear? Oh, news happened while we were recording. They've rescinded Balogun's red card.
Oh, good.
No, kinda. It basically means he's sitting on a yellow. He gets another yellow card. He's out.
Right.
For the rest. Whatever that means. And he's on probation for a year.
Jesus.
Because it was an accidental stomp, but it was a stomp.
It was a stomp, but it was a complete accident. That's what really pisses me off. It's like, he didn't mean to stomp that guy's ankle, but it happened. That's a yellow card. And they eject him from the game and made it so he couldn't play the next game. Now it's fine.
Yep. Anyway, we get him back. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.